All right, Reality Daily, Wyatt coming at you. It's the Traders US, episode 5 of the US second season. And I'm joined today by Naveed. Naveed, how are you?
I'm doing good, Wyatt. And justice for Marcus, you know, I'm still devastated that he left. I know we're on episode, what is this, like 5 now? But I just feel bad that he's not there.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Like, whatever. I thought he was fine. I thought he was interesting, but I really thought that he was the most interesting with his girlfriend. And now they're both gone and like, whatever. But like this week, you know, you're kind of like Kate. You know, I talked to Jeremy last week, but you just kind of showed up.
Yeah, I'm here, baby. Did you miss me? That's about it. But I just want to jump in real quick and say that I think the treat when it comes to traders is that we finally see some players come back and make the return, and we get to see them play a game. It's all great. Some players, though, it really makes you start like questioning like how good of a player they were to begin with. Right now, I'm at that point with Dan. I don't know about you, but I'm like, what are you doing, Dan?
I mean, I feel that way with Dan. I've kind of always felt that way with Janelle. I thought Janelle was always not the best strategist. I thought she was a great competitor, great socially, but I didn't think she was a great strategist. So I feel this way. But I also think that the game of the traders will expose a lot of people because the gameplay, in my opinion, is so much harder than a Survivor or Big Brother, because it's so much easier in Survivor and Big Brother, where it's like, hey, get the numbers, get the power, being with the power, you know, make sure that you're not outcasted. With the traders, you have to play like multiple games. You can't get banished. You have to worry about, you know, not getting killed if you're a faithful, if you're a killer. I mean, if you're a traitor, obviously there's a lot of components that go into it. But I think it's a lot harder to play a good traitors game than it is to play a good Survivor game or a good Big Brother game. Not saying that it's more difficult or anything like that, because these games last a lot longer, but I just think you have to have more tools in your tool belt to be good at the traitors.
Yeah, but there's also some like fundamentals about the traders that you expect like some of these great players to meet. And with Dan, the fact that he like legitimately is not giving anything is just one of those things where it makes me like confused, because it's just so bad to the point that people are legitimately like flat out calling him out in front of everyone and saying like, hey, Dan, what do you think? Give me a name. Do you have any theories? And I just think that's such a bad look for him.
And this isn't the first time that they've done this either. Like, they did this in episode 3, the last one that we covered in that first podcast where we broke down episodes 1 through 3 with Jeremy and Insacan. So you would think that if that was going to be, that should have been his scared straight moment where it's like, okay, let me adjust to this. Like a good Big Brother player would, like a good Survivor player would, let me adjust this new information and kind of like morph into what the people's perception of me is, and like, or change what that perception is by being a little bit more vocal. And he didn't do that last week, and he didn't do that this week as well. And listen, he can say how he wants to change it and everything, but we saw at the end that Traitor's Towers with Parvati and Phaedra that he doesn't seem to necessarily be on the right foot, where he's not even telling them what his plan is.
It might be as like a ego thing, like maybe like he like the whole entire I'm like the top 2 greatest Big Brother players of all time is like really like hitting him, where like he might just because like you heard him say, he's like, this is not my first rodeo or whatever. That's what he said to Phaedra and Parvati when they were like begging him to just like talk. So maybe he's just like too prideful and doesn't see like isn't taking the feedback to heart.
But this is his first rodeo. It's his first time playing the traitors. So it's like,
exactly.
And like, you're playing a different game. Like, yes, in Big Brother, like everybody is, you know, lying and being deceptive as well. But you're under that belief where now, like in a show like the traitors, like most of these people are telling the truth, but you're not. And you know that you're not. And you have to adapt how you perceive that, as opposed to, you know, everybody at face value is maybe being a little bit deceitful. But let's hop into the episode. I got to get your thoughts on the end of last episode where we see, you know, Parvati is going to point out that the housewives are probably one of them is going to be a traitor. And Lars is going to go home. And then Phaedra is going to be really upset with Parvati. And she's going to come in there. She's going to say, Parvati, everybody thinks you're a traitor.
Listen, the editors really got me, because based off the preview, I thought it was going to be like a much longer fight than what it really was. Like, the editors kind of made, like, Parvati to look stupid in, like, the preview. But in my opinion, Wyatt, the way she handled that whole conversation was, like, pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it definitely was very good. I love the idea where she just said, listen, like, I'm sorry. Basically gave her the green light of who she wanted to kill, and Dan seemed to sign off on that as well. I think that was really smart of them to be able to defuse the situation. Listen, this is, like, what you think about when you say, like, hey, there is something that the Survivor and the Big Brother people should know. This is something the Survivor people should know, and she did that to a T. I'm just shocked that it was actually bygones be bygones, because I mentioned last week with Jeremy that I was confident that one of them would go home this week, because I thought one of them would sell out the other one. I thought either Phaedra would go Scorned Earth and target Dan, or target Parvati, or Parvati and Dan would be like, listen, did you hear that bitch? That's a loose cannon right there. We got to take her out. And I'm shocked that we did not get that outcome this week.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things where Parvati might be a lot more like team loyal when it comes to the three traitors. Like, if you remember, this is the same person that played two idols on other people just to keep the group safe. So it might be a situation where, like, Parvati right now might be a bit too reluctant to send someone home, and just like looking to set that up for like later.
Yeah. And I think that that's something that I just figured was going to come sooner than later. But when they do give Phaedra that green light to kill somebody, there are two people that's going to come up. And that's going to be Sandra and Tamra. You know, Sandra from the quote-unquote Gamers Alliance with the Survivor, the Big Brother, and the Challenge people. And then we got Tamra from the Housewives. I got to say, really shocked that Phaedra, who was so defensive about the Housewives comment, is going to kill another Housewife here. But I really think this was like her best move personally, because I think that really put the blame on the gamers as well, because I think a lot of people are like, well, like, listen, if the non-Survivor Big Brother people are dying or being saved and everybody else is dying, then it's got to be one of them that's probably going to be the traitor. I think that really puts the spotlight on Janelle and Dan this episode.
Yeah, it's pretty genius. Like, I can't imagine anyone is really like sussing Phaedra right now, because you saw the way they kind of all defended each other at the round table. You got to imagine that like they would have the same type of defense for each other in the traitors meeting. So if you're seeing that two housewives are being like killed, and then there's only like, how many are left at this point, Wyatt? Like two
so,
are left?
So two housewives, and then a third person from, well, now four people from Bravo, the channel, but only two real housewives, only Phaedra and Sherry.
Yeah, so only the fact that there's only two housewives remaining, you just got to like start questioning if like that theory of at least like one of the traitors being on the housewife train is even like legitimate. So I thought it was like really genius. And I think it's one of those things where you sacrifice like a potential like a final ally, but you're just gaining so much traction in the game. And I thought it was really, really smart by her.
Yeah, definitely. And really interested that they went ahead and got Tamra there. But at breakfast, we're going to see a little bit of suspicion being thrown. Peter is going to say openly to, I think it was John and Bergie, and I think Trishelle. I think he was like, yeah, I think it's Dan. I believe Dan may be it. He says, listen, I think it's got to be a guy. You know, he's kind of metagaming here. And I feel the same way, Naveed. I think that if I was playing that game, I'd say, hey, there's got to be at least one man. There's got to be at least one woman. There's probably going to be somebody from the quote-unquote gamers, the Survivor Big Brother Challenge. There's probably going to be somebody from the drama shows, like the Bravo shows. I probably wouldn't say just Housewives, but, you know, add MJ into that as well. And I probably would have expected the third person to maybe be one of these other non-reality TV people, like the Deontay or the Max. That's probably what my initial reaction would be. And I think that's fine to be thinking that way. And Peter's like, listen, look at all the guys that are left. It's probably most likely going to be Dan, because he has this, you know, track record of being a strategist and everything. My question is like, when do you, as somebody that's a faithful, when do you actually expose that information to the people that you trust? Like, is it something that you should keep, you know, to your chest? Because let's say that Bergie or you know, John Burkow was a traitor as well with Dan. Like, you could just tell Dan and you could get killed. Like, when do you speak up and when do you not?
It's really tough. And I think this is potentially like why, in theory, the strategy of Dan to not give a name is really smart, where you're not trying to give a reason for a traitor to kill you, right? And that's kind of like the fear for like as a faithful, where if you show that you're too good at reading the situation, you're going to get sniped, which is what happened with Marcus, if you remember. So I think when it comes to Peter, he's just making the right reads and trusting the right people. And it's really, really, really tough to do. I just think it's one of those things where like you just have to, you either have it or you don't. And I think, and I'm pretty shocked that Peter is doing this well so far.
Yeah, a lot of people did not expect this. They said, okay, another dumb bachelor guy. Listen, I didn't think he was dumb. He was a pilot for goodness sakes, but he's also not on the same level as a guy like Dan. You know, you would think that guys like Dan should be able to run circles around these like reality TV competition duties. And but I think that the issue with Dan here is like, I agree with you. It's great to kind of keep to yourself and be quiet because then you're less likely to get killed. But in reality, it's like if you're the only person that's not talking, that's when it comes off suspicious. And also, I think that just watching multiple of these international iterations, it also is clear that like if you actually don't talk, you're actually probably more likely to get killed because they feel like, okay, well, everybody's going to think that this person's a faithful, so let's kill them off because I can't get them banished at the round table. They can't be like a decoy over me. So actually not talking, I think, is always going to be to your detriment regardless. But CT is really going to put the pressure on Dan here, and I love this, Navi. He's going to say, like, what do you think? And then Dan was like, I don't really know. I think he's like, we've been here for so many days, you don't know? Like, you don't know anything?
Yeah, it's just like, I don't understand how Dan doesn't have, like, at least, like, some, like, prepared answer for, like, that type of question. Like, just throw out some stupid name. Like, even if you think, like, oh, like, you know, so-and-so, because they did poorly in the challenge. Something as simple as that, I think, would just, like, you know, reduce, like, the pressure on you. When you start saying stuff, when you just start acting dumb and go, like, I don't know, I just think it just leaves everyone just getting more and more frustrated with you. Like, you know, the first round, if you say I don't know, that's fine. Like, you know, the second round, people might be like, you know, well, I don't want to vote for Dan. Why are we voting for Dan for nothing? It's pretty ridiculous. He's done nothing. By like the fourth or fifth round, I think people are just gonna get fed up, and that's kind of what I'm what I think everyone's like dealing with right now. Where right now, I think what was it, Kevin, that was like still on the train of like Dan's done nothing, let's not vote for him. It wouldn't surprise me if by like next time, Kevin is just like, fuck that dude, Dan's gotta go.
Yeah, it's so crazy because, listen, like, if this was Kevin that was saying this, if Kevin says, oh, they don't have an opinion, I'd be like, okay, like, you probably should because it's a game, but it's also, like, your first time and you probably don't want to stick your neck out there. I completely get it. But, like, coming from Big Brother, coming from Survivor, even coming from The Challenge, you always are probably going to be asked, like, hey, if you win HOH, who are you going to put up, Dan? Dan, who are you evicting this week? Dan, if you win the veto, are you going to use the veto or not? Like, you're always asked these questions. You're always put on the spot by your players, and you have to have some type of answer, either, like, a fake answer where you say, yeah, I'm definitely going to evict Naveed, even if he's not, or you tell the truth, or you have some type of political answer where you kind of like answer the question without actually answering it. And I think that he's taken that answer, the political part, but he's like, it's just not direct enough for these people.
And he's not even giving him anything. Like, if you when you even think about, like, you know, an answer that's not really an answer. Like, some of the greatest ones are like, you know, it has to be someone from this group, from this channel, from this daily challenge we did because we lost, and like, you know, so and so, like something like that. He's just flat out going like, one of the greatest strategic minds of Big Brother is telling you, I don't have a theory. Like, come on, it's not believable. You know what I mean? It's just so hard to think as like that's plausible. And if you look at it, whenever he's doing this stuff, you can literally see Janelle and like some other people like just like staring at him to get some reads. And it's not a good sign whenever he says this stuff, and they're all going, "Yep, he's a traitor." It's just really bad look for Dan right now.
Yeah, and that's going to lead to the pre-challenge after breakfast. Kevin's going to be the one. He's going to throw out Janelle to CT and Dan. He says, listen, she went so hard against Larissa, and she was not a traitor, so I have to start pointing the finger at her. And then Janelle's also going to be very suspect of Dan, and she's going to tell Bergie and Trishelle as well. She said, listen, I played with him. I know these things. I know that he's not talking. You know, he fooled me before. He's not going to fool me again. My question to you is, like, let's say that you were the Bergie in this situation. Let's say that you're someone who has never actually interacted with Dan or Janelle. Do you think that you're more likely to vote for somebody that was like, hey, this person is definitely a traitor at the round table and they weren't? Or do you think you're more likely to do with the person that's like not giving you anything?
I'm more likely to vote for the person that's not giving me anything because I just would get frustrated. And like, you know, maybe this is like me being really petty or whatever. But if I'm actively risking my game, putting my neck out there just to try to push the faithful agenda, just to try, like, I find it so selfish when you're just not saying anything at all. And I would personally vote for them 100% just to say, fuck you, play the game, bitch. That's just my outlook on it.
Yeah, it's so irritating to see. But that's going to lead to the challenge, which has a little bit of interesting components to it. There are going to be two groups, inside and outside, but only the players on the outside can win a shield. And to me, this is like a really fun metagame tactic where it's like, okay, well, if I'm the traitor, do I need to be outside? So I need to act like I need the shield because I'm scared. Or do I need to be inside? I'm not going to like piss people off who also want the shield. It's such a hard thing to balance, but I'm shocked that none of the traitors ended up in the outside group.
Yeah, it was pretty surprising. Like, I think, what was it? Dan didn't even raise his hand, did he? Like, did Parvati raise her hand? Did Paige raise her hand?
I'm not sure. I know a lot of people raised their hand, but a couple people backed off. I want to say that Parvati said that she would back off at one point. But I'm just comparing this to the UK season, which is airing right now. And in the first challenge of the UK season, a trader immediately went for a shield. And he was like, well, they won't think that if I go for it immediately, then I'm going to be the traitor, right? So I'm just shocked that we're not seeing the traitors be a little bit more metagaming here and going for the shields more. I mean, we saw Dan do it once, but I'm surprised that with Parvati and Phaedra, we've yet to see them go after a shield. And I think, listen, if you're Parvati, your name's kind of been thrown out there a little bit. I kind of would be a little bit nervous not to at least be contending for the shield.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's gonna be I don't know what the right call is to make there either. It's just so tough. But I do love the arguments that came out of it. Like, it was hilarious to see people just beefing over who gets to stay outside.
Yeah, and I did love the confessional from Sandra, who was like, "I'm just upset that the people that had to run were the people that could get the shield. I wish it was the people that don't run that could be able to get the shield, because she seems like she would want it if she was able to get it. But this challenge is going to be like a watching challenge. So you're going to have three groups of two. They're going to be able to go through this map, and they're going to have to listen to some birds. And then they're going to have to relay that call over the walkie-talkie, which the people on the inside will run around and grab one of the birds that fits that description. They did this in the UK. In the UK, they did this on, I think, episode 2 instead of episode 5. But once again, the traders using the same challenges. Thoughts on this challenge?
It was goofy. I thought they could have done a better job just wrapping it up. I thought it went a bit too long. But what did you think of it?
It's for me, it's my least favorite challenge of the UK season, which is on episode 11 right now. So I've seen a lot of the challenges that will probably be on this season, and it was my least favorite. I thought it was whatever. It's a little funny to hear them try to make the bird noises and stuff. You know, John Berkow running with his head cut off, not knowing where to go. CT throwing his hands in the air, doing the random weird call to.
They had fun with it.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll give them that. But in the meantime, we have these three groups of two that are outside, and these are the groups that potentially can go get those shields. And we have, Trishelle and Bergie, we have Janelle and Peter, and we have Sherry and Kevin. It's going to end up that Trishelle and Bergie are going to be able to get those shields. And however, the three duos, which I believe this was Janelle that came up with this idea, correct me if I'm wrong there, but I believe that Janelle's going to say, hey, listen, I don't think we should tell them who's got the shield. That way we can all be safe tonight. Was that Janelle that said that?
I think so, and I think from that idea, Peter used it to then try to spread the rumor that him and Janelle had it.
Yeah, so once Alan talks about the shield being found, Janelle speaks up, I think, for the group and says, listen, nobody's going to say anything because we want to all be safe. And that's when everybody's like, hey, Bergie, they're gonna test you here. They're going to do it. I mentioned on the original podcast, if you haven't seen Bergie's Love Island season, he is somebody that's not good with confrontation. He melts under pressure. This is the reason why I wanted him to be a traitor, is because I knew that he would probably absolutely fail and it would be great TV. So they knew that he was going to get pressed, but I'm surprised that we actually didn't see more people put the pressure on him at that time. But we do see Peter, as you mentioned, Naveed, he's going to go ahead and tell people him and Janelle have the shield. And then that way he's going to try to see if he can get a traitor to take a shot at Trishelle or Bergie, which would fail. I gotta say, listen, credit for Peter for having some type of strategic thought here. I don't think this is a good idea.
Really? I thought this was a really smart idea. It all depends on if he has the right reads on who the traitors are and aren't. It's kind of one of those things where if you're damned if you get it right and you're damned if you don't. So I think it's just if the fact that he nailed both Dan and Parvati as potential potential traitors, that's impressive. I don't know. What did you think of that?
Well, here's the reason why I didn't like it, right? It's because the group's divided basically in half, a little bit more on the inside group. But, there's three traitors. They have to assume that there's going to be three because there was three last season. Chances are one of those people in the six is a traitor. So, if you don't tell people who's got the shield, what about if it's Berkey's a traitor? He can just leak it to everybody. Or if Kevin was a traitor, he could just leak it to the other traitors. And then your thing gets completely foiled. The only way that you're not actually... this is actually going to work is if all three people on the other side, and then when you tell people that you don't trust, Peter tells Parvati and Dan, they're going to compare notes, right? Especially if they are traders, and then they're going to be able just to absolutely double down on you. In my opinion, and I guess we'll get to this a little bit, I'm jumping ahead, but I kind of think it's in the best interest of Dan and Parvati to take out Peter. Like, that's not what they discussed, but I think that would be the best idea, because they seem to believe that he is lying to them. And I think by killing Peter, the only people that would take the shot at Peter would be the people that are in that four. And I think that you put the suspicion on those four that actually were there.
Yeah, we'll get to the whole, because I have some interesting takes on that.
But then we get Janelle. She's still gunning for Dan, which MJ and Sherry, these are two of the Bravo women, MJ from Shaw's Sunset and Sherry from Housewives. They're going to link that back to Dan. And Dan's kind of like, seems to be a little shocked by that news. I guess this is the first time he's heard of it. And but Kevin's still worried about Janelle. So luckily for Dan, there are other pieces there for him to play with. You got Dan, who's already, you know, worried. Then you have Sandra, Sherry, and MJ. They were all in that conversation with Dan. So it wasn't the worst case scenario for Dan, because at least Dan, as much as we want to talk about him being a bad trader and not giving people stuff, at least he's got enough trust with people that they are coming to him.
I guess. But I think, I wonder how much of that is like them trusting Dan versus them like really tired of Janelle taking out Faithfuls and just thinking she's a traitor.
Yeah, it is possible that maybe if it was somebody like a Bergie that doesn't necessarily have a negative perception, would they have ratted him out to Dan? I don't know. But I also think that it really saves Dan here, because I think if Dan was blindsided at the round table that Janelle was taking him out and Janelle vocalizes that, I'm not sure if he would actually have the mindset to be able to craft that narrative onto her at that point. I just don't know. But the fact that he got to stew on it for hours and hours and hours, I think really you know, helped him out in the situation.
Yeah, it did. And I think that's kind of like why he was able to hold his own at the round table.
Yeah. And then we get a new player, Kate. She was from season one. She's from Below Deck. If you didn't watch season one, she was probably the star of the show other than Sari. She was somebody that was always being accused at the round table of being a traitor despite being a faithful. And, you know, listen, she had a very bitchy attitude. She had a great feud with Rachel Riley of Big Brother, and she's back. And I have to assume, Naveed, that this was only due to the fact that Deontay Wilder quit.
Which is a great, like, I know that you guys talked about it, but, like, I did not even notice him quitting to begin with. Like, I was like, when they said that he left, I was like, oh, shoot, he's not there. Like, yeah. I was a bit surprised. I wonder what happened.
So it took me 45 minutes in the episode last week to even figure out that he was gone. But he left, and it was due to the stress of the game. Apparently, I saw in an interview that he had said that a lot of the you know, false accusations and the lying, the manipulation and the gaslighting, this is something that kind of brought up a little PTSD from his childhood. And I don't know what that consists of. It's not really my business, but that's why he ended up leaving. So as much as I want to call him a pussy, he is a guy that could kill me with like one shot. So probably will not do that. It also is so crazy that this guy like makes $10 million every time he fights. But then like, comes to play this game for $250,000. Also, he's done this weird thing that before he went on the Traders and after his last boxing fight, he did this thing called, I'm going to butcher the name. I'm sure some people are probably going to be raging at their phone that I mispronounced it, but it's like Anschwartz. And what it is like you go into this dark cabin, Naveed, and you basically live there for 7 days and you're like isolated in darkness. And it's just you and your thoughts. And like a bunch of like sports athletes have done it. Combat sports people have done it. NFL players have done it. Aaron Rodgers of the NFL most notably has done it. And every single time that I've seen somebody do this, they are never the same person. And it's not a good thing. Like they always are a lot more zenned out. And I do wonder, Deontay Wilder, this situation mixed in with the fight that he lost a couple of days before Christmas, I'm just thinking that maybe this experience that he went on maybe was the negative cause of all this.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I didn't know that context, but that's actually definitely interesting. But anyway, like he'll be missed. I think he was great for like that one round table where he tried to take his shot or whatever. I'm ready to see like what happens with the newest addition, the queen of drama.
And I hated this. And I know a lot of people will come for me for this because Kate was so iconic on the last season. And I agree. Like, I am not opposed to Kate being back on the Traders. I just don't like the arrival late because I think everyone's going to be like, oh, my goodness, of course, she's a faithful. I just don't think that, like, the dynamics are particularly fair for her. I think even if she was a traitor, it wouldn't have been very good. I think reality TV fan on Twitter, we've mentioned this before, that he does a lot of, like, cast leaks and reality TV news. He mentioned that he thought that it would be good that if she was given a task where if she could get a traitor banished at that round table, then she would take that traitor's spot in the game. So had Dan have went home, she would have become a traitor in place of Dan. But had Janelle went home, she would have stayed a faithful. I think that would have been interesting because she wanted to be a traitor, it seems. So this would have been her opportunity to kind of like take that opportunity. So I wish they would have made it a little bit more fun than they did.
Yeah, and it's kind of a shame that, like, it's such a close vote. She just voted for Janelle just, like, based off that one roundtable appearance. And, like, that's it. She has no idea, like, what the hell. Because, like, I'm interested to see, like, if they would have worked together or something like that just to, like, make it a bit more, like, interesting to see, like, how that final vote played out. Because imagine if, like, Kate was actually talking to Dan in the house and, like, had the same experience as others. I imagine she'd bring it to Dan at that roundtable. And, like, the vote might be a lot closer. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely think it might have been. She might have felt like, here's the thing, is like Janelle, I think, was a lot like riskier of a move, but I do think it was probably more of out of annoyance. I think Kate felt like, hey, maybe that Dan was really the traitor, then maybe she would have, maybe pestered him with questions a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe.
And then we're going to see at the round table, Kevin's going to throw Janelle out immediately. Janelle's going to say, listen, I think it's Dan, CT, and Sandra are the traitors. Now, this to me would have been a complete red flag if I was a faithful, because I'd be like, well, even if you're a faithful, why would you give us all three of the traitors? Because if you're even remotely right, you're dead. You're getting killed, right? So, I just feel like that probably would have made me think that she's more likely to be a traitor.
I agree. I think Janelle just played this roundtable like so, so poorly. It makes me question like whether she even played like Among Us during like the COVID days, because like she was so bad. Like, and it's just rookie mistakes, you know. Like, why would you just make more enemies at a roundtable? Like, why would you throw Sandra's name out there? Why would you throw CT's name? It's just dumb.
Yeah, it's like you need those votes probably, right? Like you need to be able to do those things. And listen, I think that if you're Sandra, I think it actually makes a lot of sense to take out Dan, because it's like, okay, well, like if we leave more women, then that means that like, we're less likely to be, I'm less likely to be targeted as like the quote unquote, woman traitor that we talked about, where there's probably going to be at least one man, one woman. So by keeping the women in, that, leaves a lot of room for you. But unfortunately, Janelle's going to burn that bridge, even if she had the opportunity for it. And John's going to say, listen, I think it's Kevin. I said before, he's going to say that he thinks he's inconsistent. And listen, I follow John's logic here, but we know he's wrong.
Like, how did they get John? Like, he is just such a gem so far this season.
It's so weird because like he's a non-reality TV guy. He's not even from America. He's a politician. And here's what I think happened. I think the Traitors UK aired the first season. I think he said, I really like this. I would like to play it. I think he reached out to the production company and they were like, we don't do celebrities in the UK because it's all civilians in the UK. They don't do any stunt casting or anything. And they probably said, hey, listen, we're not doing any celebrity versions or anything like that. But why don't you come on the American version where everybody's has some notoriety? And I think that's what happened. I think he tried to like play the UK version and they said, no, we want real people to play the UK version, but you can go play our circus version in America.
Yeah, I could see something like that, whatever happened, like he's been such a treat. I think this is just like it's just interesting, like how when there's such a huge focus on two others, he decides at this point he's gonna take a shot at Kevin. It's just like really wild.
Yeah, and then Janelle and Sandra are gonna yell back and forth. You're a traitor, bitch. No, you're a traitor, bitch.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. That was really good. I mean, listen, I think that the reality TV fanboys and girls are probably so excited to see Sandra and Janelle go head to head.
This is everyone's like wet dream. You know what I mean? Just like them arguing back, like reality TV wet dream. Just like them arguing back and forth. This is why The Traitors is so amazing. At the beginning of the episode, we have a reality housewife yelling at like probably one of the greatest Survivor players out there in Parvati. And then at the end of the episode, you have like two queens of Survivor and Big Brother. It's just fantastic all around.
Yeah. And the person that's going to be banished is going to be Janelle. Now, five people voted Dan. That was Janelle, Bergie, John, Peter, and Trishelle. So we're talking about four of those people being in the – no, three of those people, excuse me, being in the Shield group. that were the bird callers outside, so they have some type of friends and everything. But Bergy, of all people, is going to be like, you're letting the traitors win. Like Bergy. Like, this is the loudest I've seen him talk, like, in 40 episodes I've watched of him.
He's coming into his own, man. He's coming into his own. Like, he seems like right now a lot more confident in his abilities. I think that one challenge where, like, he was, like, navigating everyone in the graves, in the graveyard, or sort of, like, in the cemetery, just, like, telling them, like, which how to avoid the lights. I think ever since then, like, his confidence has been, like, a all-time high.
Yeah, I'm such a Bergy fan. I really am. I loved him on Love Island. I thought he was so fun. I just didn't think he would do well, because I thought if he was a traitor, he would melt like butter. And I thought if he was a faithful, I thought he'd get killed off, because he's, like, nobody would suspect him to be a traitor, right? So they would just go ahead and kill him off. But I actually think that he may be in this for the long haul. And I guess we'll talk about some speculation next week. But I kind of think that people will say, like, hey, he's so naive. Maybe we can trick him at the end. So let's keep him around.
Yeah, it's going to be like either that or just like they all see him as like just 100% faithful. Just like he's just so easy to read.
Yeah. And then we get into the Traitor's Tower. Phaedra and Parvati are going to tell Dan, you got to get it together. And then Parvati and Dan, they're comparing notes and realize that Peter's probably lying about the shield. Dan says, listen, I got to have this murder because I'm in trouble. And he's going to say, we should risk it and go after Bergy, because, you know, they feel like that Bergy is somebody that's like so, you know, innocent and everything, you know, just cause a lot of, you know, misdirection. I don't even think this is a good move. Like, even if they didn't think that he potentially had the shield, like even if Bergy was on the inside, I still don't necessarily know if this is the best move for him.
I agree. Across the board, I think Dan is handling this this like conversation terribly. You said that Dan and Janelle, so Dan and Parvati think that Peter is lying. It's not Dan, it's just Parvati. Dan was like legitimately saying, I don't think Peter is like that savvy of a game player. Like he thought that like that Peter was telling the truth based off of him just like downplaying Peter's capabilities. So you know what? I think it's going to be sweet justice if they do go for Bergy and then Dan gets voted out. I think it's going to be like one of the all-time like falls from grace when it comes to Dan's performance this season. And I'm a Dan fanboy. Like coming into the season, Wyatt, you can attest for it. I was always defending Dan in our conversations, and I just find it so hard to believe that he's making such like bad mistakes. The like you said, going after Bergy is just nuts, because if you do go after Bergy, it's just such so obvious that you're like that you're it. Like who else could it be that could potentially be a traitor at that point? CT, like I don't know, it doesn't make sense. So it's just like, yeah. I don't know, it's just so poorly played by Dan.
I think if you're Dan, I think that you have to eliminate a woman. And I think based on, you know, Phaedra being so protective over the housewives, I think that you probably, like, I would kill Kate. Like, I think that would be something where it's like, okay, like, let's just get her out of the way. Like, exterminate her. But even if they didn't want to go that direction, maybe they go to somebody like MJ. I just think that, like,
Trishel,
you know, as the men keep going home, like, they're going to just look more and more at you, and you're going to have heat regardless. I probably would go for somebody that didn't vote for you either. Like, I think Trishel, that's kind of my fear with going for Trishel, is that people would say, okay, well, Dan, you know, she voted for Dan. But then Dan can always play it like, hey, I got framed, but I don't know.
Yeah, and like, I just frame it like, why would I, if I was a traitor and I was going to murder someone that voted for me, why would I do Trishel? You know what I mean? Like, that's a proper defense you can give. You know what I mean? It's just like, to me, that's just what I'm saying. Like, it's just going for Bergy is just like, it's just crazy.
And everybody heard that, like, Bergy was like, Dan, I got you. I'm writing you in chalk at the end of the episode. And it's like, there are multiple people that will point to that. And yeah, like, he can deflect that and say, like, oh, of course I wouldn't kill him because of, you know, everybody heard this. But people are going to be like, hey, like, let's at least suss this out. You know, there's too many things against Dan at this point. Let's at least give him a shot. But if you kill somebody, like, you know, if you kill like a Sandra or you kill, you know, a CT or something like that, or even MJ, I just think that nobody's looking at you if you do that. Or a Kevin. I don't know. I just think that like these are the ways to go.
Even like before like the traitor session, he was like, they were all going to sleep or whatever. And they were like, Dan, what do you think? And he's like, I know I'm going to try to speak more. I have my sights on someone, but I'm going to say it tomorrow if I make it. And I was like, why would the traitors kill you, Dan? Like, why would you're enemy number one? Like, you're probably the safest person that's going to make the night. Like, you shouldn't even be worrying about, like, being killed that night. It's just like, I don't know. I think the problem is that Dan does not realize that he has, like, this reputation of like, being this, like, super strategic, strong player. But he's, like, trying to play, like, as if, like, nobody knows that reputation of him. And that's just, like, hurting his target. Because everyone's kind of having the same view of, like, you being who you are, you can't be this, like, aloof about everything.
Yeah, I just think that, like, after the Traitor season one, I think that anybody that comes into this game and doesn't do a little bit of research on the people here to know like what they're capable of, I think is crazy. And I think Kate even mentions about Big Brother and everything, right? So I just think that's the case. Parvati's going to pitch John. I think this is a great idea as well. I mean, John does you know, Dan's going to refer to it as a waste or murder, but like, I don't think that like people think that John's a traitor anymore, right? Like, it's like, if he's not going to get banished, then how was it a wasted murder? It's only a wasted murder, in my opinion, if the person can get banished.
I agree. And speaking of like Dan's fall from grace, I actually think Traitors has really helped like Parvati's like legacy. Don't you think? Like, I think that she's played this season like fantastically so far. Don't you think?
It's tough, right? Because she obviously pissed off Phaedra. And although I don't think that Phaedra really had a right to be upset, because as I mentioned last week on the podcast, it's understandable to think why somebody from Bravo would be a traitor. You have one gamer, you have one Bravo, you have one other person, and that's your traitor. So I don't think she should have got mad, but she had like a lot of irritation there. Now, granted, she settled it really well, but I think for Parvati is so, you know, high up on people's like pedestal that Parvati's going to have to win the game or get damn close for it to actually improve the stock because it's already so high. And I feel like the same way for Sandra. I think Sandra's already so high that like in a lot of people's minds that she has to basically win for it to go any higher. And Dan's probably the same way. It's like, for
no, but I mean, like after the performance they had in like World of World in like season 40, like that's probably like why they might, their stock might be a bit lower. And that's why this is like helping them again.
Yes, I guess. I don't know. Do people really think about like War of the Worlds as like the last thing that they would think? Like, don't you think about the positives than you do, the negatives? And you're probably right there. I do think a lot of people says, oh, she went pre-merge, she's a flop. They probably say the same thing about Sandra. So
you're telling me to Sandra's better than Tony? Did you see them in the same season? Like that type of like argument.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. Yeah, I definitely think that could potentially help their stock if somebody is so negative. But I think if you're a Parvati fanboy or girl, like if you're already somebody that's already such a stan of Parvati, it probably can't go any higher unless she actually does win, just because like she is like, you know, essentially like the queen of Survivor or one of the queens with Sandra.
Yeah, but I just think in general, like a lot of the Dan fanboys are probably right now like oddly quiet. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Taryn exactly. Armstrong, probably not saying much on this season so far.
Yeah, I don't think so. But let me ask you, predictions for next week, who do they end up actually going and murdering?
I'm actually going to say that I think they're going to do Bergy. I can tell by the way that Dan was talking. He just seems so stubborn, and he's not approaching the traitors conversation in a matter of like, you know, what's their like in an open matter where he's like, okay, well, my mind could be changed. I think he's actively just trying to change other people's opinion in that conversation, and he's just too blinded by like the potential of his downfall. So I think what's going to happen is they're going to try to kill Bergy. He's going to be safe, and then Dan's going to go home at the round table. That's my official prediction. Lock it in.
Yeah, so I think that he is also going to do Bergy, but I think what's going to happen in the round table is I think he is going to throw Phaedra under the bus. And I think he's going to try to get Phaedra out next week. That's what I think he'll do. I do not believe he will be successful. I do think that we will see Dan go home next week.
Neither do I. I think what's going to happen, he's going to go home and then he's going to say he's a traitor, and then like Phaedra's stock is going to go like flying through the roof. Like she's going to be like number one faithful in everyone's eyes and like potentially the winner of the season.
Yeah, I definitely think that she has a lot of potential to do it. But it also comes into like, hey, do Parvati and Phaedra, do they recruit somebody? Do they stay as a group of two? Who knows what they do at that point? But definitely feel like that is probably what we will see next week. All right, Naveed, anything else you want to say before we head off?
No, I had a great time. I did get a lot of things off my chest because I was very frustrated with Dan this episode. I hope the folks listening at home understand that I'm a huge Dan fanboy. I've always been, and it's just so disappointing to see how he's playing. So just understand my viewpoint from there. But besides that, I got nothing else to say, and I can't wait for the next episode.
Yeah, make sure that you are following us on social media. Let us know what you think about the episode. Our social media handle is @RealityDailyPod. If you could rate us 5 stars, we'd certainly appreciate that. It helps the algorithm. Feel free to leave us a comment. And also, if you like the challenge, I almost said the traitors again, the challenge 39, Jeremy and Naveed have been covering it all season long. I have pitched hit a couple of episodes, including this most recent week. So make sure you are checking that out. All right, until next time, bye.